Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fires are tearing across the West. The little blaze here on this side of the Oregons this week was nothing. The Murphy Fire burns 68,000 acres and counting. The Miller Fire burns 89,000 acres and burning. The Horseshoe 2 fire burns 135,000 acres and burning. The Wallow fire burns 430,000 acres and counting. See what fire can do. John the Baptist once said, "I baptize you with water, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Today, on the day of Pentecost, we celebrate that baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. When the risen and ascended Lord Jesus poured out like fire on his faithful people, the Holy Spirit. This fire, kindled by God himself on the earth on that day, has been burning ever since. The Spirit fire is burning. It blazes on the tongues of men. It sweeps across the whole world, and it saves mankind from the fiery flames. On the day of Pentecost, that Sunday, 7 weeks after Easter Sunday, the few disciples of Jesus who were left, either the 11 or the 120 who made up that first Christian church, we don't know from the text which group it was. They were gathered together in one place in Jerusalem, in a house somewhere, must have been in the center of the city, and they heard a sound. The sound, like the sound of a blowing violent wind, a wind much like the winds that drive the wildfires over forests and plains and make them uncontainable and unstoppable, that kind of wind. They heard the sound of this wind, and then the fires came behind it. Fire rained down from heaven on God's faithful people there, visible only for a few moments. But like the fire of the burning bush that Moses saw 1,500 years before, this fire didn't burn anything up. And like the fiery furnace in the days of Daniel and his friends, this fire didn't harm God's people. Fire came and took the form of tongues, like the tongues of men, and divided up and came on the heads of the disciples who were gathered there. For some reason, God chose to symbolize the dwelling of his Holy Spirit among his people with fire in the shape of tongues. The reason is no secret. Jesus' disciples began to speak in other tongues, other languages. And we sometimes focus on the other languages part, but we shouldn't miss the fact that they were speaking in the first place. The sign of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit fire itself, was in language, was in speaking, was in words. The Spirit fire burns on the earth. But where does it burn? Where do you look to find the Holy Spirit? Do you go to a tent in the middle of the city where they promise miracles and healing? Do you check inside yourself and see how you feel? Do you feel saved today? Do you feel the Spirit moving in your heart? Is your heart burning for God? Do you listen inside your heart to try to figure out what the Holy Spirit's will is for you? Do you look for signs of the Holy Spirit and for proof of which church is really Spirit-filled and led by the Spirit of God? No, you don't do any of those things. You look where the Holy Spirit Himself directed you to look on the day of Pentecost. Where do you seek this fire, this burning? The Holy Spirit has attached Himself to words. The Spirit fire burns. It blazes on the tongues of men. That should come as no surprise. This was no new revelation from God. God said long ago through the prophet Jeremiah, "Is not my word like fire?" declares the Lord. God's Spirit has bound Himself to words, to speech, not just any speech, but to words that He Himself has inspired, both in the prophets of the Old Testament and in the apostles of the New Testament, and also to the words of gospel preachers today who preach according to that inspired word. That is the Spirit fire. That is the method God has chosen to burn on the earth, to work in the hearts of men, to convict of sin, to create and strengthen faith. Jesus predicted to His disciples in the gospel you heard today, "If anyone loves me, he will," the NIV says, "obey my teaching," literally, "he will keep my word." And what would that counselor do who would come to help Jesus' disciples? He would remind Jesus' disciples of what everything I have said to you, words. Paul said to the Corinthians, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." The Spirit is never without the Word, and the Word is never without the Spirit. The Spirit fire burns. It blazes on the tongues of men. The fires that burn at the moment here in the Southwest seem unstoppable. That huge Wallow fire, only 5% contained right now. But for as unstoppable as these fires seem at times, they will all go out. They will be extinguished either by rain or by firefighters or when their supply of fuel is exhausted. The Spirit fire is different. The Spirit fire will not be extinguished, not before Jesus comes again. The Spirit fire burns. It spreads over all the earth. That was God's purpose in choosing the day of Pentecost for His Holy Spirit to be poured out on His church, and in choosing the sign of speaking in other languages, the languages of the nations that were gathered there in Jerusalem on that day, as it says, from every nation under heaven. Pentecost was one of those festivals that all the Jews tried to attend if they could get there from the nations of the earth. Jews and Gentile converts to the Jewish religion, they were all there. And like smoke billowing up from a house in the middle of the city, everyone noticed where there's smoke, there's fire. And everyone went to see what's going on. They didn't see smoke, they heard sound. Maybe they heard the sound of that rushing wind. Surely they heard all of these people loudly proclaiming things in many languages. And when they drew near and listened more carefully, they heard not only all these other languages, but they saw that it was Galileans speaking them, people who were not well known for being educated. And they were equally amazed at what they heard. Each one heard them proclaiming in his own language the wonders of God, the mighty acts of rescue and deliverance that God had done for his people. Back at the Tower of Babel, you heard in the first lesson today, God came down and confused the languages of the earth and divided people up into nations and spread them out over the face of the earth. He did that for our good. He did that because man's corrupt, sinful nature is so hostile to God that when a bunch of people get together in the same place, that hostility becomes like burning embers. When you bring them together in one big pile, it gets hotter and hotter, and mankind would have soon self-destructed, just as it did right before the great flood, just as it was beginning to do now again after the flood at the Tower of Babel. So God divided up the nations and confused their languages and made them spread out and keep their hostilities separate for a while. A divided humanity will also burn itself out and self-destruct too. It just takes longer. And God's purpose of salvation required time. Time for God to give birth to a nation that he would focus on, zoom in on for a while, and teach and nurture, so that that nation, Israel, could become the cradle of his son, the one he promised long ago to Adam and Eve, the one he promised to send the descendant of the woman to crush the serpent's head, to accomplish the salvation that all mankind needed. But now that the Christ had come and lived and died as the sacrifice for mankind, and risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven, now, as of the day of Pentecost, God no longer would zoom in on one nation, but would send forth the word, the gospel, the fire that would bring this salvation to all nations. And there you have the languages on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit fire was not intended for one nation of Israel. God no longer favors one nation above another, or any individual above another either. The sacrifice of Christ was for mankind, and the Spirit fire must spread from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, as Jesus promised. The fires that burn are sometimes out of control, but sometimes before they get out of control, before they even start, forest managers will execute what they call a controlled burn, to burn out sections of the forest or of the plain so that a fire, if it did start, couldn't spread and harm more people and more acreage. They use fire to protect people from a more destructive fire. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, spoke of a fire that was coming, not the Spirit fire, but the destructive fire that God would send against the world, the judgment fire that he would bring at the last day. So the Spirit fire burns to save mankind from those fiery flames. Peter explained the strange events that were taking place that the crowd in Jerusalem came to find out about. The Spirit-enabled proclamation is the fulfillment, Peter said, of a prophecy God made hundreds of years earlier through the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then Joel and Peter jump straight from there, as we saw in Bible class just today, straight from there to the end of the world, to the day of judgment. The sun will be darkened and the moon turned to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you see, these last days began on that day of Pentecost, the kindling of the Spirit fire on the tongues of God's people marked the beginning of the end of the earth. The fire of God's word goes out from that day, and everything is about the fire that goes out from that day. It will spread. As Jesus put it, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. Then the fire of God's judgment will be unleashed against the earth, and all sin will be destroyed, and all sinners will be wiped out. No one and nothing will escape the fiery flames of that day. Nothing, no one except the sinners who are found relying on Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and their salvation. The one who was crucified on the outskirts of Jerusalem and who was raised from the dead and who ascended into heaven and poured out his Holy Spirit on his faithful people, that one is the only refuge for sinners on the day of the fiery judgment of God. Only those who are found trusting in him will be saved on that day and completely saved, untouched by those flames. But no one would trust in him. No one would believe in him. We've spoken of this many times before. No one would trust in Jesus and his sacrifice for mankind. No one would believe it. No one would be saved. The fire of our sinful nature rages against God and hates him and would rather spend eternity in the flames of hell than spend eternity in a heaven with this God who revealed himself in Christ Jesus. The fire of our sinful nature has cut off the power lines that enable us to even believe, rely on Jesus for our salvation. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, as we say in our catechism, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The Spirit fire, blazing on the tongues of men, spreading over all the earth, is that which restores the power lines to our hearts. So that when you hear today, like the people in Jerusalem heard long ago from the words from the lips of Peter, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That which you could never, ever believe, you just believe and are saved from all condemnation by that faith kindled in your heart by the Spirit fire. The Spirit fire burns and saves mankind from the flames of hell on the last day. That Spirit fire was ignited on the day of Pentecost. It burned through the stubborn hearts of those who put Jesus to death and even lit the flame of faith in their hearts. 3,000 people baptized on that day, 3,000 souls and counting. How many more have been added since then? How many acres covered? How many souls? Millions, billions. See how the Spirit fire has swept across the world. It's traveled even here to Las Cruces. It's blazing even today as you hear the gospel. It's burned into your heart, a conviction of your sins and faith in Jesus as your Savior. Stay close to this fire. Bask in its warmth and wave others toward it too. Hear over and over again the proclamation of the gospel. Receive over and over again the word of God in the sacrament too. Hear and receive the forgiveness of sins, always from God, from the Spirit. Hear in his fire, and let this fire also be seen in your life as your life conforms more and more by the Spirit's power to the burning love of Christ, as you show that love to one another and to the world. And beckon people, beckon your neighbors, the people in your life, to come to this fire. Tell them, here in my church, there is a fire blazing. Not people jumping up and down, not people rolling on the floor, but a real fire kindled by God. Come and see, come and hear. May your life and your lips, may our church and our congregation ever burn brightly with this fire. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.